second shiur in Chavis Halvavos Shar HaTeshuvah, Wednesday afternoon, Chav Beis El Tovshinai and Dalid. So we'll continue to make our way in synopsis form. We're not going to be learning text. Shar HaTeshuvah, and we'll see how far we get today. And we'll see what will happen on Sunday. Let's see. We'll see. I'll see why not. Then we'll take a break till the. All right, we'll see. So we started off last week saying tshuva is many things, because the elephant in the room of tshuva is that why is it such a big deal? Obviously, you're not going to continue sinning. It's like shape up. Whatever imperative you have, not to talk Lashon Hara, to daven with Kavana, to do Chesed, on Monday you have that same imperative on Tuesday. What's this tshuva thing? So we said there's various answers. Well, it's not even a question. The answer that tshuva is effects mechila v'kapara. That's chiddush. The fact that you can do tshuva is a chiddush, because you still have the same bechira you did as before you did a chet. You don't say that the chet put you in a certain place, and now it's like, who says you can climb out of it? So you can. You have bechira and you can do tshuva. You're actually undoing the past. Not only is it a question of getting mechila, but you're drawn closer to Hashem. You taka put yourself in a further place. In a further place, and now the chiddush of tshuva and all the psukim that the Rambam brings is that you're drawing closer to Hashem. Now, the way you're drawing closer to Hashem, the Chavis Halvavos, I would say, doesn't directly deal with this question, but the way he describes all the components of tshuva and how, in order to do a proper tshuva, there's something called doing a proper tshuva. So you could say that the proper tshuva with the four components, and each component has five components, making the total of 20 components, and he says that's just a drop in the bucket, so that's to effect kapara. You want Hashem to be mochel you, so you can't just stop sinning. You gotta go through the whole process of tshuva that he describes. I regret what I did, and I feel bad about it, and I take steps to ensure that I don't do it again. Right, we'll be learning about that. But it seems it's deeper. It sounds to me from the Chavis Halvavos that what you really seem, again, this is an undercurrent. It's not, he doesn't say this explicitly. When you do tshuva, true tshuva, full tshuva, not just, okay, I stopped sinning, and maybe I'll even have a twinge of regret, and I'll continue with my life, and now I won't sin anymore. True tshuva, the full body tshuva, and which has four components, and each component has five parts, and so on and so forth, and effects kapara, and is this great matana that Hashem promises us we're going to have, and about tshuva, someone that does tshuva is so close to Hashem, is more primarily not so much stopping to sin, although that might be a component, but you see, it's only a component. Tshuva is fixing something's wrong with the machine, something's wrong with you, something's wrong with me. I rebelled against Hashem. Something is wrong with me. Either I am interested, I'm self-centered, and I'm interested in pleasure, immediate pleasure, instant gratification, or I'm lazy, or I'm rebellious. There's something wrong. To sin, a person has to have something wrong. Adam Arishon, right? Chava saw that Tovu Leinayim v'Nechma, and then she was all of a sudden homemade for the fruit. So maybe my taiva got the better of me. Maybe my gaiva got the better of me. Maybe my kas got the better of me. All these things result in sin. Maybe I'm rebellious. I don't want Hashem telling me what to do. I don't mind it if I don't mind doing it, but once I want to do something else, I don't want him bossing me around. I'm verbalizing what
how we feel sometimes when we act certain ways. So the Chavis, his first sentence in the Hakdama to Sha'ar HaTeshuva, not to be confused with Sha'ar HaTeshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, Sha'ar HaTeshuva, Sha'ar HaBitachon, Sha'ar HaPrishus, Sha'ar HaKaniya, Sha'ar HaTeshuva. His first sentence in Sha'ar HaTeshuva is that, I think, very, very telling. That Tshuva is a function of Kaniya, that was a previous Sha'ar. Kaniya means, so what's Kaniya? With an ayin. Kaniya, to be nichna to Hashem, to be subservient, but it's much deeper than subservience. It's a long Sha'ar, Sha'ar HaKaniya. And, you know, just like when you learn Sha'ar Bitachon, you say, why is it so different? This shall tell me that Bitachon. Let's go light them. So by Sha'ar HaKaniya, you say, you have to be nichna to Hashem. You know, and let's go light them. Kaniya is the awareness that this is very hard for a person to really absorb and accept, is that we are nothing. We are just creatures of Hashem. And everything we have and everything we do, we owe to Hashem. And the only thing we have is that bechira, that one corner called choice, where we choose to do good. But kniya is the realization, as David HaMelech says, Anochi tolaz v'lo ish. I can't do anything. Nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Hashem. Everything's a gift from Hashem. And therefore I'm nichnat to Him. And how can I dream of like disobeying Him? He gives me everything that I have, and He's responsible for everything that I have. So when you sin, you break away from Kaniya. And I think the first sentence of the Chavis HaLavas in Sha'ar HaTeshuva is that Teshuva reestablishes your Kaniya to Hashem. You're swearing allegiance again, pledging allegiance. You're pledging allegiance to Hashem again. And you're renewing your pledge. And you're saying, something is wrong with my Avodas Hashem. And in the Chavis HaLavas' world, it's not just my Avodas Hashem. Something's wrong with my attitude towards Hashem. Maybe I don't appreciate Hashem enough. Maybe I don't think before I act enough. Maybe it's not a Hashem issue. Maybe I'm impetuous. The Chavis HaLavas starts off the Sha'ar saying that a person is just a jumble of emotions. And he can be nice today and mean tomorrow. And he's always tremendous inconsistency in mankind's behavior, the Chavis HaLavas says. And therefore, it's very hard to keep things in check. So I think that the Chavis HaLavas is looking at tshuva, and then the chiddush of tshuva, the reason it's so hard and it has so many moving parts, and the reason perhaps that it affects kapara, although that's already a shtickle Torah that we won't go into today, but like, the reason it affects kapara is because it's a fundamental restatement of your values. You're not just moving on and saying, I'll be good from now on. It's, I'll be good from now on, yeah, but why was I bad? Why did I do that? Is it because I don't respect Hashem enough? And you start searching, and you start uprooting the place where the Avera came from. And that's why it's enormously, you have to do like, so you have to go to do the tshuva that the Chavis demands to have full tshuva. You have to close the same Chavis HaLavas, find themselves a good therapist, really, and you have to sit there and explore. Except we explore when we maybe get angry or we become dysfunctional, so we explore. But he wants us to explore, why did I eat without a bracha? Why did I not have kavanah and tefillah? I know I have to have kavanah. I know you know I took lashon hara. Why did I took lashon hara? And really, and that chachma is definitely a chachma. I mean, even though it was only relatively recently revealed to the world, but it's a tremendous chachma to be able to delve into yourself, and that's what Gibsel Salanta really. I don't know who was first, Freud or Gibsel Salanta. They were basically the same time, actually. But the Rebbe Salanta, really in his Tnuas HaMusar and in the Musa movement, really woke people up to the necessity of doing this. That it's not just a question of sinning and not sinning. You have to explore yourself. You have to know yourself. Like, how could you do this? That's what I think the Chazal is. And that's why it's obviously not as simple as, well, if I wasn't allowed to talk Lashon Hara on Monday, now I'll have to talk Lashon Hara on Tuesday. So like, what's this tshuva business? Tshuva business is you're fixing the floor. You are attempting, you want to fix the floor which led to the chet. And that's why it's this thing called tshuva. Now we learned in the second parak, I'm sorry, the third parak, he said this, you have to, I'm not going to go over them, I hope, because it will take too much time. But it's so important. It's parak gimel in Shaar HaTeshuvah. And just like parak beis in Shaar HaBitachon, I always say that is the, probably, if you had a point to the most important parak, it's, you have to realize these seven things about Hashem, in order to have bitachon in Hashem. You have to, otherwise you're kidding yourself, you're paying lip service, you're not really having bitachon if you don't realize A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here in Perek Gimel he says, there's seven things, he likes the number seven, the seven things that you have to realize in order to effect a proper tshuva. Again, a proper tshuva, you can stop doing the chet. Now we're starting to hit it, that's not that big a deal. And maybe colloquially we call it I did tshuva, I stopped sinning, but that's a far cry from the full body tshuva. That we don't know to what degree this gets your various nimchal. We don't know. We're not privy to Hashem's books, right? But what the Rambam calls is a kadosh, and Hashem is mechabev him, and he's on a higher madrega than a tzaddik, right? That's probably you have to do the full body tshuva. You know, the Rambam says tshuva is made up of three parts. Rabbi Yonah has 20 in Sha'arei tshuva from Rabbi Yonah. Right, there's 20 things that you have to do tshuva. Now the Chazal Lovus, who lived centuries before all these people, says four components, and each component has five angles to it for a total of 20. Yeah, well, it's not Rabbi Yonah's 20 though. So chapter 3 really should be studied, because it's like bitachon. You know, if we try to do the full bitachon and we walk away with 10% bitachon, that's pretty good, and we should be very proud of ourselves. But you got to aim for the full bitachon, or else you're kidding yourself and you'll just walk away paying lip service. If you know what bitachon is, the full extent of it, and then you say, wow, that's hard, that's really, really hard. You know, I can do it now like twice a week, once a week I can have be talking about something, but like, oh, this is like, yeah, that, at least you're not kidding yourself and you're on the right track to constantly improve. So really chapter 3 Perek Gimel should be studied. And what does he say? He says that you have to acknowledge that you sinned, and you have to admit it's wrong, and you can't just talk about excuses. You should ask for forgiveness. You're aware that you could be punished, and that's part of it. And he wants to scare you. You know, that's part of your onus. You're aware that you could be punished at any point in time for the aver you did, and therefore, when you regret doing it, and you except not to do it anymore, it's going to be that much more meaningful. So that's the seven things. We did it last time. I want to be madgish again, number five. I don't think I was madgish it last time. You have to believe in tshuva. Or if I want to be fancy, I'll say you have to believe in yourself. That sounds nicer. But you have to believe in tshuva. You have to believe that it will work and you can do it. And there is no other etzah for sin. There's no other etzah to really attack, address what's wrong with you. So, but it works. So like, this is the key, and this is going to work, and nothing else is going to work. And if you don't realize that, you're going to maybe do pseudo tshuva, or half-baked tshuva, or a superficial tshuva, lip service tshuva. So there's the seven things. Now, Perek Dalid tell us the four components. And the Lord says four components to tshuva. Number one is what we call charata. You regret it, which is not, sometimes it's very, very hard. Because, you know, I did it, it's wrong. can I say I wish I had never done? I mean, you know, I wish I'd never done it, but like, I really regret it. You know, I cringe. Well, we're going to learn. When we learn the five components to this one component, we'll see how deep it is. It's not just a question of, oh, I regret it, you know. It's like real. I would say, I like to say to Lashon, it means when I think of doing it, I cringe. That's how much, you know, when you regret doing something, you can't live with yourself. The thought of you having done it, it makes you cringe. Like, you can't fathom it, you can't accept it. So that's real regret. Now, Chaim Zavodas does something interesting in this parak, and he does it throughout the Sefer, and we talk about it very often. A lot of times, Chaim Zavodas gives an example of a concept, he says, governing a person and Hashem, and a person's obligations to Hashem. He gives examples from life, and a person with his friend. And he does it throughout the whole Sefer. Sometimes it takes people aback. It's mundane. That's a person's reaction. Like, why should Hashem react the way a person reacts? And the answer is, the Chavis wants to make sure you get it. And he points to life. And the reason people react that way, just like the Chavis says in Shara and Bitachon, that when parents love a child, it's a reflection of Hashem's love. So when people react and act a certain way, it's a reflection of, so to speak, how Hashem acts and reacts. And he wants you to learn from it, because Hashem's invisible, and we don't really see what Hashem does or thinks. So look what people do. And throughout the Sefer, he'll say, L'mashal, if a person does kach v'kach to his friend, imagine how his friend would feel. So imagine how Hashem feels. See, that's silly. Well, it's not silly. It gives us a way to, we can't wrap our heads around Hashem. We have no way of describing him. So we can't wrap our heads around him. But we can wrap our heads around our friends. So the Chavis Zavodas in this perek constantly refers to when my friend will forgive me for an avla that I did to him. So he says, you know, if I tell my friend I regret having done it, then his friend's going to forgive him if he hears that I regret it. That's what he says by number one. Number two is that you are determined to be Ozev, to leave the sin. You're going to do it again. You stop sinning. In other words, it sounds like almost automatic from number one, but it's not. I can regret having done it, and then I'll do the same thing again. I'll constantly fall into that pach. So, and the Chavis Zavodas says, if I express regret to my friend that I wronged him, and I stop wronging him, and I'm careful not to insult him, and not to talk to him a certain way, or not to get angry at him, then he'll really forgive me. Then he'll give a much deeper forgiveness, because he sees I'm stopping that behavior. I'm taking it to heart, and I'm stopping that behavior. So that's number two, is Aziva Sachet. Number three, the Chavis Zavodas holds, the third component is saying vidui and asking for mechila. In other words, slach lanu, mechal lanu, kapar lanu, you say the chet. Admitting you did the chet and asking Hashem to forgive you. And not asking for it. Begging for it, asking for it. So if you just regret it, maybe your friend will be meichel you. If you regret it and stop doing it, more chance he'll be meichel you. But if you ask him to forgive you, then his heart will melt already, and he'll feel that much closer to you, and he'll say, wow, you humbled yourself to ask me to forgive you. And that's what we're doing, actually. We're humbling ourselves b'fnei Hashem. So it's not only a question of the chet, but we're being nichna. We're reiterating, and we're kniya to Hashem, and we're surrendering to Hashem. And so that's number three. Number three is asking for forgiveness. Like you come, you know, please forgive me. And that's very hard to do. Sometimes people fight, and you know, they even know one person's wrong, he regrets it, but he finds it hard. It's a real hashpalah, you know, to go to the other person that you were fighting with and say, "Please forgive me." Like, that's an extra twist of the knife. Not only do you say you regret having done it and you were wrong, but you have to, like, I need you to be meichel me. I need you to release me, like to free me. That I shouldn't be chained down to what I did. So please release me. So it's a hachno, it's a hashpalah, and that's what we do to Hashem. So that's number three. Number one is to regret it. Number two is aziva sachet. To stop it. Just stop it. Number three is to ask Hashem to be meichel. Slach lonu avinu kichatonu, mechal lonu malgenu kichloshanu. Asking Hashem, slach lonu mechal lonu kaper lonu. That's in the Al-Khayt. So like in the middle we stop and we ask Hashem to forgive us. But that's a component of doing tshuva. So why is it a component of doing tshuva? We say, well, it's a practical matter, so you shouldn't get punished. No, so that's what he explains. It's a kniya. It's a kniya. And remember we said you're reestablishing kniya to Hashem when you do tshuva. You're reestablishing. I said tshuva can be many things. Chavis Lavovus, it seems to me, holds, you're reiterating, you're renewing your kniya. Because he says, I'm sorry, I know I'm repeating myself then, it's a very important sentence. He says, tshuva is a function of kniya. So that means, so obviously now I understand that when you ask for mechila, it's I know with in relationships with people, it's an act of hashpalah. You know, you're not just, please forgive me. It's hard, you know, that's just... You don't want to do that. You don't want to. So that's number three. And again, he says, if someone wronged his friend, and he confesses and he admits and he asks him for forgiveness, then like, friends are sure gonna forgive him. Like, it's hard to know. Now, number four is Kabbalah. Now, Aziva Sachet. Number two is, you know, stop it. Just stop it. Number four is a determination never to do it again. Ever, never to do it again. To pull yourself together. Not to do any chet again, really. And again, he says, then your friend will certainly forgive you. If not only you ask a mechila and you're not going to do it again, but you take steps. Maybe he's going to say in the next parak, you'll avoid the circumstances that led to the chait. As you're determined that it shouldn't happen again. So that's Kabbalah ala Asid. Number two is just Azivus HaChait. Why is that? Yeah, because it can't be that you don't have the opportunity again. So you stop doing the chait. It means you let it go. But this is already Kabbalah ala Asid, that you make a conscious decision that you will not do it, and if you have to take steps to make sure it doesn't happen, you have to avoid certain areas, you have to avoid certain situations. When you come home at night, instead of like a person on a diet, they tell them when you come home at night, don't sit down in your easy chair and take out a newspaper, because then you're gonna take out the box of cookies, and before you know it, you polish off 2-3 boxes. So don't do that. You know, do something else. Start cleaning the house. This is the person cares enough about his chet. I'm going to avoid certain areas where there's lashon hara being talked. I'm going to avoid certain situations where I will talk foolishness instead of purposeful things, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's in chapter four. Chapter three is what will spur you to do tshuva. Seven things that you have to realize, and that's going to be a kick in the pants. Chapter four is the four basic components of tshuva.
Chapter 5 is the details of each of these four components. And he details five for each one. Now, I don't think I'm going to go I'm not going to say all five, but I'll give you some examples to show, emotional on the first one. So the first one is that you regret it. You regret doing the chait. So there's five aspects to it, five details, five ways in which you show that that's real. Being afraid Hashem will punish you, which doesn't sound like the highest madrega of regret, but it makes it very real. Right? If I can be punished at any day, if I'm like just waiting for that lightning bolt to hit, right? So that creates a real regret. He says, reestablishing Kniya, so you regret that you rebelled against Hashem, you went against Hashem. In his days, it was not that uncommon for people to wear sackcloth and take off their clothing and put on torn clothing or sackcloth in order to mourn, as if they're in a state of mourning. So he says, admonishing oneself, even humiliating himself, meaning, I can't believe I did that, and I can't believe I did it. So, five ways of expressing real regret. So that's the five. In other words, true regret will have, I don't know if he says you need all five, maybe you need all five. Maybe, again, he's going very deep into the human psyche. So he's saying maybe you need to do, you have to fear sudden punishment. I don't know why. Can't you have real regret without that? I mean, I can see that helps you have real regret. If you walk around like waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? So you're really going to regret it. But that you, I don't know, I don't see that. You must have it, I know. In the B'tochen we worked out how you must have it, each one of those things. Here, I don't know if you must have each of the five. He says you have to choose different kinds of foods and different kinds of clothing, dress down. I don't know, you have to do it that way. That would be a sign that you're really, really regretting it. I don't know. Those are the five things. Then he talks about five things of stopping to be chote. You say, what's five things? One is like stopping to be chote in any thing, not just in the affair that you did. Stopping to do things that lead to the chait. Stopping to be chote when you're still able to be chote. And one of the things he says, it's very deep, these things. I'm saying it in a stickle, superficial way, and I'm sorry about that. But if we would be learning it in the text, the way we learned other parts of the Chayvus HaLavus, we would be explaining each sentence and showing what he's saying. Now I'm just like sort of an outline form. But one of the aspects of Azivas HaChayt, really interesting, such interesting, because he wants, again, true Charata, true Aziva. So one of the aspects of true Aziva Sachet is that you're doing it because of Hashem. You're stopping to be chote. Not because you're ashamed of your neighbor. Not because you're afraid you won't do a good shidduch. And not because you're afraid you won't get your kid into school. And not because you're ashamed of this one or of that one or you're afraid you'll be found out. But you have to have the right kind of regret. This is number four in the second component. The second component being, I'm sorry, as I said, regret, no. You have to be ozev the chait for the right reason. And the right reason has to be l'man shemo. Because it's like, well, the whole Shari Yichud HaMais is made up of that. That I'm not doing things because of other people. I'm doing things because in their own right, it's the right thing to do, you'd say, but if you're more secular. But the Jew says, because that's the Ratzon Hashem. And everything, the be-all and end-all of everything, is what Hashem wants.
So that's why I'm mostly the chet, because Hashem doesn't want me to do it anymore. Not because my neighbor doesn't want me to do it anymore. Not because my mother doesn't want me to do it anymore. Not because my daughter doesn't want me to do it anymore. Not because the rabbi doesn't want me to do it anymore. The rabbi might be telling you what Hashem wants if he has delusions of grandeur. But you have to not do it because of Hashem. Hashem is your rabbi. To truly forsake the sin, you have to forsake all sins, take steps to make sure you don't fall into it. And completely disassociate yourself from sin in the ways that he describes. The third component is asking for forgiveness. Right? That was the third component. Vidui and asking for forgiveness. So it's fascinating. And it's to really do it properly, he says you have to, this is like, again, if we'd be letting it inside, I'd be preparing more to explain the psychology behind this. He says you have to be convinced that really you did more chaton than you can remember. It's an interesting idea. You have to be convinced that you really did more chaton that you don't remember. To truly, I don't know. Right now I don't get it. I have to learn it and think about it. He says to truly confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, you have to be convinced, you have to like really think that there's more where that came from. Maybe that's a spur to ask for mechila because you have a whole pile of things.
You can't specify it, how can you have
you don't have to specify it. It's a mental state. I guess because otherwise it's like, you know, I'll take care of this, I'll give vision, you know, move on. It's not so simple. You have to feel a burden. You have to feel a burden. You have to feel, as I said, subservient to Hashem. And you have to feel, not just subservient, it's not such a good word. You have to feel bottled to Hashem. That's really the right word. It's more than nichna. It's deeper than nichna. Al-chait is asking for kapara. Al-chait is in the middle of a sentence. The word al-chait is a continuation of the phrase slach lanu, mechal lanu, kapar lanu. For what? Al-chait shechatonu lefenecha. This slach lanu, mechal lanu, kapar lanu. Al-chait shechatonu lefenecha. So you're detailing the things. Our al-chait is structured that we're asking for forgiveness. That component. It's a vidui. The sentence involves a vidui also. We said Hashabdu Bagadnu, that's vidui. This is also a vidui, a longer vidui. And the sentence is structured in that it's vidui. But if you look at the whole sentence, we're asking for mechila. Al-chait shechatonu. Well, slach lanu mechal lanu kapar lanu al chet shechatonu lefanecha. Okay, if the chatasi negdi som b'dover haMelech says, he talks about fasting and davening. In his world, it was very normal to do that. Now we don't fast a week, but that's. You know, you have to ask the right way. You have to show you're broken. You have to ask, not in an arrogant way, but you have to ask in a way that shows that you're broken. The fifth thing is just fascinating. He says the fifth thing is you have to warn others not to be chote. Why? I'm not quite sure now why that's an aspect of asking for forgiveness. I would say it's an aspect of Azivas Achet, that you realize it's so bad that you warn others not to do it. But that's what he says, that you take on yourself the burden of warning others what happened, and that so that they shouldn't be chote. And that's a way to get Hashem to be mochel you. That's how he presents it. Okay, then he says five things about that. I say when you learn it inside, it has much more depth to it than maybe it sounds now. Going on to chapter 6,
see, chapter 3 was, what do you have to realize in order to do tshuva? Chapter 6 is, what will move you to do tshuva? What's going to be that kick in the pants? Can you create the kick in the pants? What does it take? I did an Aveira. What happened? I woke up, I realized what I did. So how did you realize it? So he has a perek here saying, because if I know what would do it, then I can bring it on. I can create, I can, for instance, the first thing is like Shar HaBachina thing. Think about Hashem, think about how much He gave you, how much you owe Him. Develop your sense of gratitude towards Hashem. Think, Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor, Vanora. And then again, he gives a down-to-earth marshal. He says, if an Eved ran away from his master, and then he says, what am I doing? What am I, nuts? My master does everything for me. He gives me everything. He supports me. He gives me everything I need. So what am I doing? And he goes back. So that's one way. That's one way you kick yourself in the pants to do tshuva. One thing that will spur a tshuva is thinking about Gadlus Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, working on your gratitude again, and then saying, what have I done? If someone just saved my life, and then asked me for a glass of water, and I don't want to do it, that's, something's very, very wrong with me. So if someone created my life, and then asked me to eat kosher, and I was too lazy to, or no one was around, and I ate something, you know, that's questionable. Like, how can I do that? I slapped the person in the face. He gave me my life. He didn't save my life. He gave me life. So that's one way that you can spur yourself to do tshuva. The second one is by taking things, is by feeling that Hashem is asking you to do tshuva, maybe even demanding you do tshuva. So he says, in the olden days, it used to be through Nevi'im. Nevi'im came to Klal Yisrael. It's also no mean tshuva, because the Navi talked to everybody in the stadium. He's talking to 100,000 people. But I heard him, and I said, he's talking to me. I know exactly what he's talking about. He's talking to me. And if you don't have, that was in the days of the Nevi'im, he says, or you can start to have a Mora Derech, or a mentor that tries to set you straight. Sometimes you can figure it out yourself by learning Torah. But the second way is by looking as if Hashem is kicking you in the pants. Hashem is sending you messages that you should do tshuva. So the first way was to reach, to be spurred to tshuva through thinking about Hashem's chesed and generosity and how you mishalim ro tachas tova. The second way of spurring yourself to tshuva is by looking at events or things. It doesn't have to be even things that happen to you. You can look at things that happen to other people and say, Hashem's sending me a message. And that will spur you to do tshuva. That's another way. And he insists that there's every door, every person has like someone that could be a, the second thing I said is the person himself. You figure it out, these things are happening. But every, the door, people have rebbeim, have mentors that they can really get this from, that will send Hashem's message to them. The third is by seeing things that happen to people and taking it as an onesh that they received, mamish, and taking that as the message. And that's when people, the second is more of a more derech thing. I see the way people are acting, I see the way other people are acting, and I'm being taught. The third way is I see punishment, and I take it very seriously, and I say that's because they're acting a certain way. And I'm acting that way also. Because the Lover says, we learned in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, like the most depressing thing in the world. He says, very, very difficult even morbid paragraph in Shach Cheshbon HaNefesh where he says that you should, when something happens to someone, what? Really? Rabbi, really? Because the other says something happens, you're supposed to look and say, that could have happened to me. Why, you know, Chazdei Hashem, it didn't happen to me. There's no reason. I'm not better than that person. I'm not better than that person. Why didn't it happen to me? It could have just as easily happened to me. It should have happened to me. I know what I, you know. So, that's really what he's saying here also, to take it as a message to you. And the fourth way is by taking things in your life and not Hashem, you know, like the mother tells the Rebbe to slap the kid next to his kid, so he gets, my kid's very sensitive, please don't slap him if he's bad, slap the kid next to him, he'll get scared. So that was number three, and number four is to slap the kid, right? And to take things that are happening in your life. So he says the best is if you return to Hashem the first way. You don't need punishment. You don't need to look at other people and say they're being punished. You don't even need a navi to kick you in the pants. You realize it on your own, because Chasdei Hashem, you realize what you did. You realize what you did by being sinning. So that's the first way, is the best way. Then less ideal is the second way. Even less ideal till there's a punishment in the world and he sees the consequences like with his eyes. And the fourth way is that he feels the punishment. So that's the least ideal. So these are so in this perek, there's the four things that spur you to do things to realize in order to properly do tshuva. That's an intellectual realization of certain ideas and principles. That's in perek gimel. Perek Dalet is the four aspects to tshuva. Perek Hey is the five aspect of each aspect. The ways to do it, to make it real and to reflect that it's real. And then the sixth perek details four ways that a person would be spurred to do tshuva. Self-realization. A teacher. Things happening to other people, things happening to himself or herself. That's what he said. Those are the four things. And he said, listen, you know, do it the first way and you won't. And, you know, that's the most ideal. Don't wait for the other way. So I guess what we are now going to say, is Mrs. Knoll here?
I'm here.
Yeah, so I guess we will have a class on Sunday and we'll have the third, we'll finish up Shaar HaTeshuvah. We still have a few prakim to go, so we'll learn it. Maybe we'll learn it inside to fill the time. If but so we'll finish, and then we'll see what to do the week of Aser Shemei Tshuva. We'll decide. But I'll upon him Sunday. There's a class, part three of Shaar HaTeshuva. Okay. Yeah.